26. Jamie bumped into Mike and they stood nose to nose. She stayed there, pressed against him on the pathway. He could feel the warmth of her body. Her hair smelled like talcum powder.
"It was sweet of you to be worried," she said.
Her words carried the smell of sweetened coffee.
"But you didn't need to be."
She swept her hair away and it fell back in front of her face.
"Are you all right? Do you feel okay?" "I'm fine. It worked. No problems."
"That was stupid," he said.
"Trust me, I'm not as dumb as you feel right now." "We have 40 seconds left on the door," said Sasha. "Are you going back or is that it?"
Jamie smiled at him, a real smile.
"Well," she said, "am I going back, Mr. Government Jerk?"
She bounced on her toes. For a moment, Mike had the odd thought that she was going to kiss him in front of everyone. "No," he said. Then he looked over his shoulder and raised his voice. "No, shut it down." Neil glanced at Olaf, then bent to his station. Mike saw Jamie nod from the corner of his eye. Olaf reached down and stabbed at his keyboard.
"Closing the door,"
boomed Sasha.
"Stand clear."
Jamie put a hand on his chest and guided him a few steps back. He looked past her and glared at Arthur. The project head ignored him. Then the air between them rippled and a hiss of radio static echoed out of the rings.
"That was amazingly stupid," said Mike.
"Seriously," she said. "Unclench. Everything went fine. I'm okay."
He turned around and gave Olaf and Neil the look. Neil cowered from it a bit. Olaf straightened up.
"What the hell is wrong with you?" Mike asked. "The last time someone went through there, he died."
"And over 160 times before that," said Olaf, "someone went through and nothing happened."
His smug tone was back. Mike hadn't missed it.
"This is what science is all about. Taking bold steps and not stopping the moment you hit a setback."
"A setback?"
Mike marched toward Olaf, waving his arms back at the rings. The other man clenched his fists.
"What happened to Bob was a setback?"
"We couldn't find anything wrong," said Neil. "We had to run a test to see if it was a fluke."
"There's a pet store down the street," said Mike. "You could have sent a rat."
"No," said Olaf. "We couldn't. Going back to animal testing would have sent up a huge red flag. It'd be declaring a failure."
"That's because it failed."
"No, it didn't," said Jamie.
Mike turned on her.
"Bob is..."
"We don't know what happened to Bob," Neil said. "But we can't find anything that says the door was at fault. We needed more information."
"We had to run another test," said Jamie. "So I volunteered."
The big door hissed open on its piston and Sasha walked out onto the floor. Her eyes darted between them. She moved to stand near Olaf. Mike looked at Jamie.
"You could have been killed."
"But I wasn't."
"It made sense for her to go," said Olaf.
His fingers danced on his phone.
"How does volunteering to get killed make sense?"
"Because I had the least to lose," said Jamie. "Everyone else has family or other commitments. I don't. It made sense."
Mike shook his head.
"Nothing about this made sense."
He looked around at the team members.
"Seriously, what were any of you thinking?"
"I was thinking it's my life's work," said Jamie. "And I didn't want to see it get flushed away."
Her words echoed in the big room.
"We'll need to get you checked out," said Olaf. "Full physical and x-rays, first priority, CT scan too, just to be sure."
She nodded.
"Of course."
He pointed at his monitor.
"Arthur's bringing his car around to take you. Do you feel okay to walk?"
"I feel fine," she said. "There's nothing wrong with me."
"You can't just ignore this," Mike said to them. "This was insanely dangerous."
"Bob wouldn't think so," said Sasha. "He knew what this meant. He'd want us to keep working."
The door hissed open again. Arthur walked in, car keys in hand.
"I'm right by the entrance," he said. "Ready to go."
Mike glared at him.
"I can't believe you allowed this."
"Why not?"
"You could have had another body on your hands."
"Or we could have proved the door works."
He waved a hand at Jamie.
"And we did."
"I have to tell Reggie what you did."
"Unfortunate," said Arthur, "but not unexpected."
You know this is the nail in the coffin. Even he'll agree they have to shut you down for this.
No, Arthur said. He won't. At this point, he's depending on this project as much as us. He's invested too much. The Albuquerque door is going to make or break his career, too, and if he has a choice, I'm confident which way he'll go.
Someone died, said Mike.
And we've shown that was a fluke. The Albuquerque door project works as promised. That's what matters.
Can we put this on hold for now?
Asked Jamie.
No matter how we look at this, the best thing is for me to go get checked out, right? So let's get that done, and then we can argue about if this was a mistake or a bold step.
Mike looked at her. And if it's a mistake? She spread her arms and then gestured up and down her body.
For the third or fourth time, she said. Fine.
Well, let's be sure, said Arthur. He gazed at Mike. Unless you have any other objections.
Mike turned his back on them and paced back and forth in front of the rings.
Let's go, Arthur said.
Back soon with a clean bill of health, said Jamie.
Their footfalls faded and the door hissed again. It closed with a thump. Olaf and Sasha spoke in quiet tones. Neil moved to join them. Mike stood alone and took a few slow breaths. He stared up at the rings. There was a certain logic to what Arthur had said, but Reggie would shut the project down. At the very least, he'd put someone new in charge. The next time they opened the door, who knew what would happen to the person who walked through it? He turned and headed for the door. An insistent aunt held up an image in his mind, something he shouldn't see. He rewound it even as he turned his head to look again. The twin rings stood up on the walkway. He'd moved so far to the right they were almost edge-on. He took a few steps until he could see the far side and the two inside edges of the rings there. Then he took another step and saw the third ring. He glanced over at Olaf, Sasha, and Neil. They were debating some point. None of them were near their stations. Behind them, the red light was dark. Two rings close to him, three rings on the far side. He took a few steps back, then walked behind the platform. From behind, there were only two of the big off-white rings. He traced them with his eyes. Then he walked out to the front again. He stepped to the left and looked through the door. Three rings. His movement caught Neil's eye.
What's up?
Back to the right, two rings. Mike cleared his throat. Guys, they all looked up.
Is the power on?
Yes, smirked Olaf. That's why there's no sound at all.
Three rings, two rings. He snapped his fingers twice and pointed at the rings.
Is the power on?
The smirks vanished, and Neil shook his head.
No, of course not.
We've got a problem, said Mike.